Prayer request. Prayer request. Be in prayer for Estelle. She's in the final journey of her life here on earth, getting ready to go home. Some days, if you go by and see Estelle, she's back at the hospice home, and it's up there on the bulletin board, the address. It's off of Legacy near Independence. And so it's, some days you'll go in, or go in, and she's doing very well. And other days, not too cognizant of what's going on. So be in prayer. If you get a chance, drop by and say hello to Estelle. Edna Willis had her major hip operation. Took me a little while to run her down, but I ran her down. Went to the hospital and where you said she was, and they said she wasn't there. I walked in with my plans. I felt kind of standing there looking at her, and she's not here. And, yes, she is. No, she's not. Okay. And so called around to a lot of hospitals, and Jim Langston called around, and they probably wondered who we were, but couldn't find her. But anyway, I did find her. But now she's moved from the hospital, and she's in a rehab center over off of 15th and quite Independence. Health South. Okay. And Health South. That's the south, southern part of your body. Down the street, there's Health North, and they take care of it. No. And so I'm assuming I saw her the other day, but she's doing fine. Doing fine. Alta had a, we thought was doing really good, and then they discovered back and forth. Yes, that was it. Shrunk. Okay. Okay. So keep praying. That's good. Be in prayer. Any other prayer requests I'm not aware of? Yes, Jim. That usually happens after they've had something like that that disrupt. Yeah. Okay. We need to go up there and take her out and right. Well, that's good, Sal. That's good. That's good. Any other prayer requests? Just please be in prayer for each other. We know that each other has circumstances, and sometimes we don't always reveal them here. Julie, how you doing? Not better? Good. So just be in prayer for one another, be in prayer for Wes, be in prayer for myself and study, and just be in prayer. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. Right now I'm in the midst of our first little, what I've decided is, rather than mammoth type of adventures and things, it's going to do some little things that I would like to have out for us. John Hintz wants some, and Dan. So we're working on a little pamphlet dealing with basic instincts. It's going to be a little thing, and put some things like that together, and then see how that flows for us. Some of you may remember some time ago, I used to go to Miami and speak at Reverend LaGrange Church of the Haitian people. From the island of Haiti, and so went there a couple of times, I think, 2 years, 2 or 3 years, and then we, for some reason, just disconnected. I got a wonderful letter from him, and just encouraging me to come back. It was such a eye-opening and things that he saw in dealing with the Bible, and so I'm going to write him a letter and just let God take care of it at God's timing and God's way. And see, wonderful people. If you remember when I went, I loved the Haitian people that were there. His church is divided really into two parts. Older Haitian people who do not speak English very well, so we had an interpreter, and then the 30 and under who do speak English. But it's very large and very power, very dynamic assembly. And They're not charismatic, but boy, when they start singing, they start singing, and they're beautiful. And I love they use the New Orleans Cretian type French language. And I even asked them. I said, "Is there a book I can? Do you have a book of your language so I can the pronunciation and stuff?" And they looked at me. No, nobody's put anything like that together. And but it's so just be in prayer, see what God does. In that respect, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Man calculates time. Heavenly Father, 1,000 years is but a day to you. We embark on a new year in our life and the life of this assembly. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will use us in the year of 04, in the spreading of the word, in the strengthening of each other, the growth and the understanding of Scripture. Give us the opportunities, Heavenly Father, to get the message out, be it tapes, internet, written, conferences, whatever you have in mind, use us. Pray, Father, that you will continue to protect the freedom of this country. We understand that the offertory is dependent upon two spheres of freedom. Utilization of two spheres of freedom, the political, economic. The world is tense. American soldiers still dying in foreign fields. But Heavenly Father, we still enjoy this freedom to do with our lives and our resources as we see fit, to worship where we see fit. And Heavenly Father, we have the spiritual freedom that has been given to us in Christ to have eyes to see how to use our political, economic freedom, who to marry, where to worship, where to live, work, what to do with our money. It's in the spiritual realm that we have eyes to see what's really important. So, Father, pray that you receive the offerings today and that you will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, let's open the scriptures, if you will, this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. The Gospel of John, chapter 11. Getting ready to move into the final miracle, great sign by Jesus Christ before the crucifixion. Something most significant and most important is going to occur before that sign and before that miracle. And that is that Jesus Christ is going to go into prayer. What we're going to do this morning, a lot of people during this time of the year, we close out a year and go into a new year, often make resolutions in regard to health generally, resolution in regard to exercise. The gyms are always packed on January 1st, 2nd, 3rd. That lasts till about the 15th and 16th of January, and then we're back to the normal crowd. And some make resolutions in regard to marriage, to be more considerate, more thoughtful, whatever is necessary, finance. Just as a nature of man to use the new year. And that's okay because God used the seasons and the years in the Old Testament, and it's a good thing to do. What we're going to look at today is a New Year's resolution, a resolve to pray. Resolve in regard to prayer life. Going to take our springboard from the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and then we're going to look at some of the things in regard to your prayer life. I don't know if you have a prayer life. Maybe you do. And if you do, that's wonderful. If you do not, I want you to consider today's lesson. I want you to consider the leading of the Spirit, be sensitive to it in regard to prayer. Powerful things happen in prayer. I'm going to look at some of those and orient us to, again, to the importance of prayer in our lives. To just start thinking about His leading in your own life daily. In dealing with prayer, spending some time, no phone, no children, no one else, just you and Him, and you're in prayer with Him. So we're going to look this morning at the resolving to pray. Let's begin with prayer. Pray, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit will give me the words, the encouragement, Heavenly Father, to pray. What an awesome privilege when we sit and think about it, that you've given to us the privilege to pray to you, God, whoever we are, poor, weak, rich, male, female, important in the eyes of the world, unimportant in the eyes of the world, teenager, adult, regardless of circumstances, regardless of failures, regardless of successes. You've given us the opportunity to come to the sovereign, omnipotent God and pray. Father, pray that you will, your Spirit will encourage us today to see the importance of this aspect of our lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 41. We begin the manifestation of glory. We begin the manifestation of glory, and it starts out with the only thing that man can do, and that is to remove the stone. By that I mean that when man can remove the stone, man can reveal the problem. That's all that man can do. Man can reveal the problem that there is death inside of the cave. That's what man can do. Man can only reveal his hopeless condition. That's what we can do. Jesus Christ has man do what man can do. But Jesus Christ does what only God can do. And that is to remove the hopelessness of man. Man can remove the stone that will reveal his hopeless condition, reveal the hurt that he's in, reveal the problems in his life, and reveal the financial, marital, spiritual, whatever the problem is. We can reveal that to God. But it is God who can remove those things from our lives. And they removed the stone. They rolled away the stone to reveal the hopeless situation of man. What is the hopeless situation of man here? Death. And therefore, it is picturesque of us as unbelievers, as believers when we're spiritual, and then just of any difficulty in life. So we can reveal that when we roll away the stone. Man has the ability to see his own hopeless condition, see his death, his misery, but there's not anything man can do about it in the spiritual realm. God can do that. Now let's look what Jesus Christ does. They've rolled away the stone. And the first thing Jesus Christ does, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou heardest me. He thanks God before the prayer is even answered in the physical world realm. He already thanks God. We saw Jehoshaphat years ago. I did a study in Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat did that also. He was going to battle, and he thanked God for victory before he had even gotten to the battlefield. This is a relationship with God. So just what Jesus Christ does. He thanks God the Father. Now I want you to note the word raised. The word raised. This is the third time we've had this verb. It's the third time we've had the verb. Iro. Aorist active indicative. Now the first time was in verse 39. There it was in the imperative by our Lord. Remove the stone. Now note I've said remove. Here it's caused, he raised. It's the same verb. It's the same verb. Raise the stone or remove it. Then in verse 41, the second time, they moved the stone. That's our verb. They moved it. They lifted it, the stone away, revealing the problem. Now the third time, it is the Lord who lifts his eyes. Now, this is all that the humanity of Jesus Christ has to do, is to lift his eyes. There's more power in Jesus Christ lifting his eyes than in going to be in all of the humanity around him, because he's going to the ultimate power source. This is a perfect example of the Logos in the flesh form. We know that Jesus Christ is both God and man. This is a beautiful picture of the Logos in the flesh form. He lifted his eyes in prayer. Let's note a few things as we move into our study. One, this is the first thing that Jesus Christ does before the manifestation of glory. Now, we've seen him heavy on the inside, stirred on the inside because of Martha, Mary, mainly Mary and the crowd and all the crying. And we've studied what it's all about. But now it's almost like a complete change. All right, you've shown me the problem. There's the problem. And the first thing he does, he's going to go into prayer. He goes to the Father. I want you to think about that. Do you do that? There's the problem. Is the first thing you do, go to the Father? Or is the first thing you do, go into panic? This is hopeless, helpless, terrible. What am I going to do? Who am I going to shoot? Who am I going to rob? Where am I going to get this taken care of? Or do you go to the Father in prayer? Point two. You can use your human ability to lift up and reveal your problems. Or you can lift up your eyes, as it were, in prayer for the solution. You can either manifest and be concentrate and occupied with your problems, with the circumstances of your life, or you can go to the solution. Point three. mindset. This has been very important in our study, in our study of stress, anxiety, and depression. Sad mindset. Get an AM. We call it an AM set and an FM. AM is Adamic, or thinking in your flesh, thinking the Adam thinking, or the FM was faith thinking, faith mindset. Now watch what happens. Jesus Christ is now in a mindset of why he is here. The problem that is before him is why he is here. What is before him? Death. Not just physical death, spiritual death, death. No life is before him. That immediately reminds him why I'm here. That's why I'm here. That's the condition of the human race. That's the problem. That's why I've come. So the mindset of Christ is now set on why he is here. His mindset now is the Father has sent him, and that's why he sent him. So he's looking right at the reason why God sent him. Remember that as we develop our study. Point four. Prayer solicits God's intervention into your life. But be sure you add the last phrase, for his glory. Not what you want. Prayer solicits God's intervention into your life for his glory. Prayer orients you to God. And five, principle for each of us. Since Jesus Christ goes into prayer before he does anything, how much more you and I? How much more you and I? To go to the Father in prayer. At all times. But especially in difficult times. Before we act. Before we speak. Before we speak, before we act. Go into prayer. Years ago, we studied this, but I want to go over it. We haven't gone over it in a long time. Many years, as a matter of fact. I'm going to give you three parts of prayer. People, this is not, for my critic's sake, this is not structure. This isn't like, well, you have to do one, you have to do two, you have to do three. This is to give you something to think about. So what the Spirit opened my eyes in regard to this, and I found it extremely powerful when I saw it, and then all through my life since then. There are three steps or parts of prayer. Prayer preparation, the prayer, and prayer pursuit. Prayer preparation is a vital time. Prayer preparation is where you sit. I'm going to go over this later more, but just to kind of introduce it, it's where you start thinking. What am I going to talk to God about? Then you go into prayer. That's where you actually start talking with God. Then you have prayer pursuit. The more you learn how to pray, the more you'll know what to do when you hang up the phone and you say amen. What happens with a lot of Christians is the moment you say amen, your mind almost immediately you just go into something else. Either one, you're waiting for the solution, or you go back into your panic, or whatever it is. But if we learn effectiveness and how to pray, your prayer will tell you what to do after you've said amen. Prayer pursuit, as I'm going to show you, puts you in position for God to answer your prayer. Prayer puts God in position. Prayer calls God to act in your life. But let's say God is ready to act in your life and you're not there. You're somewhere else looking for a human solution. So prayer pursuit puts you where God can answer your prayer. As I said, I hope that you will continue. If you have a prayer life, and if you do not, start considering a prayer life in 04. Resolve to pray. People, we make time for our leisure. I'm not knocking it. We make time for TV, gardening, We make time. Some people make time for their health, exercise. There are some people who will spend as much as 2 hours, 4 or 5 days a week in the gym. Other people will just spend at least an hour, 3 or 4 times a week in the gym. We spend time just doing different things in our life. I want you to consider a New Year's resolution. That is to resolve to spend some time in prayer. Put aside a little time each day just to talk with God. Just to orient to who and what He is. Pray for yourself. Whatever's going on in your soul, whatever's happening in your soul, the pressure that you're feeling. And then pray for others. That's intercessory prayer. Not the same people every time. Just the people that the Spirit brings into your mind that are in need of prayer. It's called intercessory prayer, praying for others. Those who need your prayers. Those who need it in different ways in the spiritual journey. Those you love. Pray for those you've hurt. Those who've hurt you. The endurance of prayer enhances forgiveness. A lot of believers have trouble with forgiveness. 04 can be a year if you've had a problem with anyone in regard to forgiveness. An effective prayer life. It's going to lead and give the motivation and the spiritual direction of forgiveness. Now, let's take a look at some of these and note some of the things about them. Let's talk about prayer preparation. Let's talk about prayer preparation. Jim, I'll need that. I need to do something here in a bit. Okay, prayer preparation. First thing we're going to note about prayer preparation. Prayer preparation begins when you decide that you're going to go to God with your problems, that you will depend on God. That's the first step of prayer preparation. The first step is what I'm going to do with this circumstance. Now, people, I'm going to talk about it in the areas and times when we're under stress, under hurts and pains and sufferings and fears and worries and concerns. But I don't want to exclude happiness. Don't just run off on your happiness without this also. But what prayer preparation is, it is where it begins. This begins when you decide, I'm going to go to God. I'm going to go to Him with this circumstance in my life, with what's happening in my soul, with, as I said, my fears, my worries, my concerns, those things, those heaviness in my soul. I'm going to go to God in this prayer. One of the great accomplishments of prayer preparation. You hadn't even gotten to the prayer yet. Hadn't even got there yet. One of the greatest accomplishments of prayer preparation is your decision that God is your only source of help. That's powerful. That's a first step powerful thing. That's where I'm going. That's where the solution lies. I'm going to move into the Spirit by faith. I'm going to have this time, and I'm going to go into faith because here, right there, God is where I need to be in regard to the circumstances of my life, the fear that I have. Prayer preparation orients you to God. It orients you to His love. You're beginning to shift, no matter how heavy they are, you're beginning to shift from your mindset and your thoughts on the circumstances of your life to God. I'm now going to take all of this heaviness, and now I'm going to start thinking in regard to who and what God is. So it orients you to His love and to what He's doing. Therefore, what we have actually happening is prayer preparation is a complete change in the mindset that has caused the heaviness or the stress or the circumstances or whatever's going on in your life. It's a complete mindset. So prayer preparation, it's where you decide I'm going to go to God. You move into the power, be sure you're in the power of the Spirit by faith, relying on Him to guide the prayer, to guide you from this point on. You've made that decision to go to God. starts orienting you to who and what He is, orients you to His love and the circumstances of your life, and it's a complete change in mindset. You start realizing that God's love for you, listen now, doesn't depend on the circumstances. Most of the time when we really hurt, I don't think God really loves me. Because this thing is just going on and on and on. The marital problem, the financial problem, the health problem, the circumstances, whatever it is just going on and on and on. I don't think He loves me. So your mindset starts playing with that. And we'll see this with Job. You just start thinking one way. Got to stop that. And the way to stop that is in prayer preparation. You just, wait a minute. I've got to stop. I've got to go to Him in prayer. So in prayer preparation, you're going to start shifting your whole mindset to who and what God is. You're going to start trusting Him, talking with Him about the problem. One important result, people haven't even got to the prayer yet. One important result of prayer preparation is you shift from focusing on your problems to focusing on God. And you hadn't even started praying yet. You hadn't even started praying yet, but you've already started shifting. Here's all my circumstances. And people, they're heavy. Don't anybody kid you. Sometimes when people are going through things, oh, well, you don't have anything. Let me tell you about my problems. Well, let me tell you about somebody I know. Trying to minimize. Don't let anybody do that to you. They're your problems and they're heavy. It's your marriage. It's your health. It's your finance. It's your life. Yeah, there's somebody else worse. To make my point, I don't have any shoes. Well, don't feel bad. I know a man that doesn't have legs. Well, he doesn't need shoes. I do. He's got other problems. I'm not minimizing his, but I'm just saying people like to shoot you out of this type of thing. I don't want to do that. Your problems are real to you. And they're interrupting your life. And God's brought them, or Satan has brought them, or they're there, however we want to calculate how they got there, to bring you to this point. So before you've even gone into prayer, the first great result is that you started focusing on Him, on who and what He is. As you go into prayer preparation, people, please remember, I'm saying this because of what I just said a second ago, please remember, it does not matter before God the cause of your problem. And I mean this with all the scriptural power. It does not depend or matter on your problem. It's your sins. It's others' sins. It's the bad decisions you've made. It doesn't matter. What matters at this point in your life is what you're going to do. Are you going to go to Him? Are you going to resolve to go to Him in prayer? This is what the issue is. It does not stop you from getting into the Spirit. It's your fault. It's your decision. It's somebody else's fault. It's somebody else's sins toward you. I don't care what it is, and neither does God. What we're looking at this point in time, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit there and wallow because it is your fault? Or are you going to get up and get into His power? And get into His plan? This is crucial stuff. Doesn't matter. Now, just want to let you know right quick, God may or may not choose to remove the problem. We're going to talk about prayer abuse. Well, I prayed and God didn't do anything about it, so prayer doesn't work. I want to talk about some of those kind of problems that people have with prayer. It's not what we're talking about here. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you, you go to God in prayer and He's going to remove the problem. I'm not going to do that. That'd be a lie. God will work the miracle inside of you. What did we see with Martha? He hasn't dealt with the problem of her dead brother. She's already got peace. She's already made the journey. He doesn't even have to bring Lazarus back for her. Doesn't have to. People, the greater miracle is not changing your circumstances. The greater miracle is changing you. That's the greater miracle, if you let Him. It all starts in this prayer preparation. I'm going to go to Him in prayer. So as you go into prayer preparation, it doesn't matter the problem. Don't sit there. You start, okay, I'm going to pray. Well, I really can't pray because it's my fault. I sinned. I did this. And you talk yourself out of praying. Don't do that. Don't do that. We're talking about God. Unfortunately, your parents, husband, wife, friend, pastor, other people, they'll hold that against you, that it's your fault. And judge. So you've learned, well, I can't go talk to them because I know what they're going to say. Well, I can't talk to God because that's what he's going to do too, because he's holy. How can I go to a holy God when I'm the fault of all of this? See, you don't know God. That's when he's there for you. Other people know God, yes. So that's a very important point in regard to prayer preparation. Prayer preparation is being sure that you're in the Holy Spirit by faith, that is in his power and his guidance, under his guiding, preparing just what you are going to ask God in prayer. Can you ask this? Is this really what you want to ask him for? These are the things that go on in your mind in prayer preparation. Here you remember that prayer is not asking God to put a stamp of approval on your solutions, but for you to adjust to his. Repeat that. Prayer preparation. You're not going into prayer to ask God to put a his stamp of approval on your solutions. I got this all worked out. Boy, God, this is going to be so cool for you. It's going to be so great for you. And it's going to be good for me. This is what's going to happen. To be funny, you're going to let me win the lottery. And boy, that's going to solve all my financial problems. And guess what, God? I'm giving some to the church. I'm giving some back to you. So it's really to your advantage, God, to do this. Don't tell God your solutions in that area. That's not what this is about. So prayer preparation, what can I ask him? What can I not ask him? This type of thing. Oh, God, I'm going into prayer, and I pray that while I'm robbing the 7-Eleven, I don't get shot. See, don't do that. It's not what this is about. This is not what this is about. Let's note some of the things about prayer preparation, very simply stated. Very simply stated. In prayer preparation, God's desires become your desires. Because in prayer preparation, you sit back and you start thinking, well, this is what I kind of want, but let me think now what's going on in the spiritual realm. What does God have in mind for me? So, people, we haven't even gotten to the prayer, and look what's starting to happen to you in the power of the Spirit. In prayer preparation, God's desires start becoming your desires. In prayer preparation, God's thinking starts becoming your thinking. Well, I entered this and I just knew, and I'm going to keep picking on this because I'm using it for anything that you might have, but boy, I just win the lottery. Well, wait a minute. I got to set that aside. Maybe that isn't God's will for me. Maybe this is something else. So in prayer preparation, God's thinking starts becoming your thinking. In prayer preparation, God's will becomes your will. People, you hadn't even gotten to prayer yet. And just start thinking about what I really want is to be in the center of your will for my life. And Father, if that's the adversity that I'm in, if that's the suffering that I'm in, then so be it. Give me the peace. Give me the wisdom. Give me those things. So what starts to happen is his will starts becoming your will. In prayer preparation, you are more concerned about what God desires for you than what you desire. This is powerful, people. In prayer preparation, you are more concerned about what God desires for you than what you desire. This is what I desire. This is what I desire. But wait a minute. What does God desire for me? And I'm going to come to that through our study this morning. What does God desire for you? I know what you desire. And I know you think that's all going to work out for God's plan, God's glory, if he would do that. But is that really what God desires? Is that what God wants from you, for you? What is God looking for in my whole spiritual journey? What was it with Job? What was it with Abraham? What was it with David? Boy, all three of these men cried out at night. Horrible cries. Well, why did God take them through all of that and let them go through all that if he loved them? Well, he had a desire for them to trust him, to be like his son. That's what his desire was. In prayer preparation, you think about what I am going to talk with God about. Coming right back to the end now. In prayer preparation, you start thinking about what am I going to talk to God about. You start thinking that through. In regard to yourself. In regard to others. People, don't be flippant with prayer. Think about it. Think about what am I going to talk to God about? What do I really want God to do in regard to me? Help me to win the lottery. If we think about our prayer, is that really what you want to pray to God? Or is that a prayer that just made it to the ceiling? To the ceiling in a 7-Eleven place where you bought the lottery ticket and you pray as you put it in. You think about it. What God is doing in your life. Where God wants to take you. People, we all have our own little ideas of our own little life. Any person that has any mental thinking at all has some ideas about their life. But now we've got to shift to what your ideas are for my life. What do you want for my life? So we go through these things in prayer preparation. Any question about prayer preparation? Okay, let's go to prayer. You're now ready to go into prayer. We say, close your eyes. Jesus Christ raised his eyes. But let's just go into prayer. In prayer, you are calling on God to intervene in your life or in someone else's life. This is very important. In prayer, you are calling on God to intervene in your life or in someone else's life. Prayer is communicating with God. What do you think about that? I think most of you, it doesn't have to be all of you, but I think most of you have high respect and high regard for the President of the United States, the current President, George Bush. What if you were given 7-10 minutes with him? Would you want to just be, well, man, I don't know what to say. You want to have it already ready. I don't want to waste this time. I'll never have this opportunity again to be alone with him and talk with him for a few moments. And here's the President of the United States, somebody that I highly respect. I want you to think about, you're communicating with God. You're talking with God. Not with some other member of the human race. Not a person that you admire or something like this. You're talking with God. Creator, Savior, talking with God. And when you deal with talking with people, well, I'll tell you what I want, I tell you this, tell you that. What are we going to talk to God? So in prayer, you're calling on God to intervene in your life. You're talking to God or in someone else's life. Prayer, another thing about prayer, places God in position to act in your life. You're calling on God to act in your life. You're calling on God in some way to intervene, to act in your life in some way. Prayer about yourself, prayer about others. You're calling on God to act in your life. In prayer, you're seeking for God to reveal his will. Let his will be made known to you. The wording of your prayers. In prayer, You are not seeking your own will, but God's. And people, that's the great kicker. That's the great kicker. Well, I prayed in Jesus' name. I ended the prayer with Jesus' name. Doesn't it say to pray, if you pray in Jesus' name, you get everything you pray for? No, it doesn't say that. I'm sorry. In Jesus' name, in the will of God. Praying in His will. If we go through this and allow the Spirit to lead, we're more into His will. In prayer, by the power of prayer, well, let me come to that one later. I want to come to that one in a little bit. But you're seeking God's will in your life. You're more concerned about His will than you are about your will. In prayer preparation, you pause to think, what am I going to pray to Him? In prayer, you pray it. Praying Him, to Him. You're actually communicating with God. Now, before we come to prayer pursuit, let's talk about prayer. Many believers, even though they've been Christians for a long time, have problems with prayer. I want to talk about them for a moment. There's a lot of prayer abuse. And when you go into prayer abuse, your prayers aren't going to be answered. What is prayer abuse? You're going to get what you want if you pray to God. People, He's not Santa Claus. And if you've learned anything in life by now, you ought to know there is no Santa Claus. So, prayer, you don't get. Just because you want something, you pray to God, and you pray in Jesus' name, doesn't mean you're going to get it. Thinking, a lot of prayer abuse is thinking you control God by prayer. I know how to control God. I control God by prayer. We live, it is our human nature, we study this in stress, anxiety, and depression, we live in the human nature is to control. Control our environment, control others, control our wife, control our husband, control our children. Some people get so aggravated they can't even control their dog. And that's when you're just right down to the bottom. I can't control anybody. But we live in this environment. So we superimpose it, though we don't word it that way. We superimpose it on God. I want to control God. How can I control God? What's important to God? Prayer. So if I pray, I can control God. Just because they ask God something in Jesus' name, that God is going to answer it. Then when He does not, they become despondent. Why should I pray? I don't pray. Why should I pray? I prayed and prayed and prayed, and God never has answered. Then there are prayers like, God, save my marriage from divorce. Now, let's think about that. God is not for divorce. God hates divorce. I don't want a divorce. I pray to God. My marriage ended in divorce. God doesn't answer prayer. So I'm going to quit praying. God doesn't care, I don't care. I know people like this. It's a horrible thing in their life. God didn't care. Maybe it was not divorce, but death. My husband died, my wife died. We're not talking about older. This happened, that happened. I prayed to God about my children. My child, I kept praying my child to do, and he just got worse. She just got worse. This prayer thing, I'm sorry. Why should I pray? Close to this are prayers that are in line with God's plan of service. Spreading of the gospel. Even God didn't answer those prayers. Why should I pray? I want to serve God. I wanted this to happen so I could be a missionary. I wanted this to happen so I could be a minister. I wanted this to happen so I could serve God. He didn't answer the prayer of even serving Him. Why should I pray? Then there are many believers who have prayed specific prayers in difficult, important times of their lives. I haven't seen God answer. Why should I pray? God doesn't care. God doesn't answer prayer. Then there are theological problems with prayer. God is omniscient. God is in control. God knows all things already. Why should I pray? Since God knows all and He's going to do all in eternity past, why pray? Apart from the fact we're told to pray, let's see if I can give you a little fun this morning, our closing time. So I give you a little fun. Show you a verse. What happens when we pray? God already knows all things, and He's worked everything out, and I just don't understand why how prayer works. Let me give you an idea We'll study it in context later. But look at Job 2. Look at Job 2 for a moment. We'll get an idea from this. How is prayer effective to God, the sovereign, omnipotent, all-knowing, already has everything planned God? Why should I pray? I don't know if I'll finish this morning because I don't want to rush it. I think this is important. I think a lot of people have problems with prayer. Why should I pray? God already knows everything. But I hope this will give you an idea. Job chapter 2, verse 3. And the Lord, Job 2, 3. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on earth, blameless and upright man, fearing God, turning away from evil, and he still holds fast his integrity. Now, we're not going to study that. That's Job's problem. This is why God is going to act, but I'll come to all of that later. I want to deal with this last phrase. Although you, Satan, incited me, God, against him, Job, for the purpose to ruin him without cause. Let's take a look at this. Look at the relationship between God and Satan. What I want you to see here is that Satan incited God to act. Satan incited God to act. Now think about this, people. You are in the Son of God. You are in the Beloved. Do you not think that since Satan can incite God to act for harm, you and your prayers in the power of the Spirit, do not think that you can incite God to act for good? People, you can. You're in the Son. You're in the power of the Spirit. So this last thing I have up here is what I have later on, but let's just look at it this morning. We may come back to it next week. By your prayer, you actually incite God to action that he may not have taken had you not incited him by your prayer. I'd have missed out on that. This is what you and I can do with our prayer life, people. Satan incites God to act against God's own servant. Job is God's servant. He's a believer. Well, you can incite God to act in your life or someone else's life, people. Now, let's look at the phrase, although you incited me against him. Now, let's have a little fun on some of these things that we're looking at. Although you incited me, this is what we call a hiphil. In the Hebrew, Hebrew's powerful. I love it. I enjoyed learning Hebrew even more than Greek in seminary. This is the hiphil, and the hiphil is what we call causative. Causative. In other words, it caused God to do this. Our word is sut. Looks like this. That's S-U-T-H sound. Suit. And the Hebrew word means to incite, to allure, to instigate. Now the word can be used in a bad sense or a good sense, depending on mostly bad in the Bible, in the Old Testament, But the context has to determine. Now, let's talk about this. Do you think that God would have done all this to Job had Satan not instituted? Probably not. Not likely. The ideal of the word means to stir up action that would not normally have taken place. That's what your prayers can do, people. That's what your prayers can do. From this we can learn about prayer and the power of prayer, the effect of prayer. Get a glimpse. People, I'm not making this dogma. I'm not making this the overall principle for everything. This is a glimpse. Just a little glimpse into the effectiveness of prayer in regard to our relationship with God. By your prayer, let's put it back on the board. By your prayer, you actually incite God to action that he may not have taken had you not incited him by prayer. I grew up in a modest home. Don't know the areas of upper middle and all that, but very modest, and we counted pennies. And money was there, but there were times in school I needed an extra five for this or that. Okay. Here. Now, my point is, had I not asked, I wouldn't have gotten. I'd have gone to school without the five. Not because of withholding it. Not out of any mean reason. But the relationship wasn't there. I didn't ask. So, incited an action. This is what I'd really like. Now, Mom loved us. She didn't withhold things that she could give. So it wasn't a matter I'm going to withhold this. Just wasn't incited to give. It's a relationship with God. You come to Him. There's a relationship formed by you coming to Him. Here's Satan, the enemy of God, inciting God into action that he normally would not have taken against Job. God is incited into action against Job. Against Job, that was contrary to the way God normally acts. Action which Job does not deserve, and I want to deal with that, in parentheses, according to law. Now, this is very important. This is a whole, we're going to have to study it in greater length in Job. I want to deal with principles here. When I say he did not deserve it, it wasn't like he was perfect. He just deserved it according to law. And this is exactly, in fact, this is exactly what Job's going to do when he gets out of kilter. He starts defending himself and attacking God. He starts defending himself and attacking God. I do not deserve this suffering. I am righteous. I do not deserve this. See, when we sin, while it hurts, when we realize, okay, I did this, and this is the results of what I did, and it hurts and all that, but there's something inside we really can't argue with it a whole lot. But boy, I don't deserve this. If you don't have any brothers or sisters, you just tune out for a minute, because you can't appreciate this. You ever gotten a whipping for something they did? Did they ever get a whipping for something you did? It's just, that's wrong. I didn't do this. Why are you whipping me? He did it. I can lay it all out how he did it. Doesn't matter. You got it. Just something bad about that. That's Job. I don't deserve this. Now, he did. We saw this Wednesday night. He did. He was not righteous. But he thought he was. Now, although you, Satan, incited me, God, against him, this means to come against him as an enemy would come against him, as though I were his enemy, against him for his ruin without cause. But I did it due to your incitement. I did it to your incitement. The word ruin. The word ruin is a PL. PL looks like this. In Hebrew, it's P-I-E-L. It's a PL stem. It's a stem that's on the word. And it's a picturesque word. And the PL, when it's something's in a PL, it's intense. It's intense. It's dramatic. The music would go up. And it'd be very dramatic. The word means to swallow down, to engulf. To swallow down, or as we would say, swallow up, but the Hebrew is more graphic, swallow down with the force of quickness and suddenness. Then you add the intensive PL, it adds the severity of Job's suffering. And all of this was brought about because Satan incited God. Because Satan incited God. Now, we're going to come back to the PL and come back to these things. But I want to do something now. We've got time to do this. What you think, don't make it law. This is not law. Just think about the leading of the Spirit. And resolve, if you don't already have a prayer life, just resolve every minute, every day, 7 minutes. Let's play with 7 minutes. Now, to show you this is not law, why did I pick that? There's no reason. I could have said 3. I could have said an hour. See, if we're talking about aerobic exercise, I know what to say. 35 minutes. You've got to get your heart at a level and keep it going at that for aerobic exercise and to do your whole cardiorespiratory system. It's good. 35 minutes. So if you're on a treadmill, if you're on any kind of aerobic machine or running, whatever you're doing, you got to keep it for 35 minutes. I didn't say 35 minutes. I know you won't. I know if you don't have a prayer life, you probably won't do it. I know if you don't work out, you probably won't do that either. So let's just talk about 7 minutes resolve, uninterrupted. Uninterrupted by the phone, by the doorbell, by children, parents, romance, friends, whatever. Just 7 minutes between you and God. I don't think that's asking too much. In fact, let's have fun with it. Again, just these are ideas, just playing. This is not law. Okay, 7 minutes. 2 minutes. Let's have 2 minutes for self. Just 2 minutes for yourself. Now, people don't sit there with a clock. Okay, God, I'm giving you 2 minutes. Got a 2 minute egg going here. And no, but just, we know about 2 minutes. So just 2 minutes in prayer for yourself. 2 minutes prayer for others. 2 minute prayer for others, whoever's in your soul. That leaves us 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Why don't you turn to Psalm 145 with me, please? Psalm 145. What are we going to do for 3 minutes? Wow. What are we going to do for 3 minutes? To look at Psalm 147 or 145. Verse 1, I will extol thee, O my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Look at 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Look at 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is becoming. Look at 148. 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all you angels. Praise Him, all you hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, stars and light. Praise Him, highest heavens and the waters that are above the waters. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. He has made them made a decree which will not pass away. Look at 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Look at 150. Praise the Lord. Praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Continue to praise Him. What are we going to do for 3 minutes? We're going to praise and thanks. Praise and thanksgiving. People, let me tell you something about thanksgiving. If in your 7 minutes you thank God every time, every day, for your marriage, guess what's going to start happening without these big commitments that these public speakers tell you to go do? It's going to start being important to you. That which you constantly give thanks for, you're going to start valuing, caring about. You continue to give thanks to God for your husband, for your wife, for your church, for your home, for your health, for whatever it is. you're going to start valuing it. We live in a time when there are churches everywhere. People can change churches. There's a church on every corner. People don't value the church too much. Their church. There's another one. Why our marriage is falling apart. There's another woman down the street. There's another man down the street. I guarantee you, if there were just one woman for about every three or four men, men would be different. They don't value it. Now, I'm not talking about those kind of games. I'm talking about you give thanks. You give thanks to God for these kind of things in your life, for whatever it may be. You just give thanks and start valuing it. So I want you to, we just start out with just this 7 minutes. Now, we're not going to do 12, we're not going to do 30, we're not going to do 40, just 7 minutes. This shows you how important prayer preparation is. I've got 7 minutes to talk to God. Now, I'm just playing. You've got all day. You want to pray for an hour. You want to extend this as long as you want. I'm just helping those who don't have any prayer life at all. So you got as long as you want. If you want to do 14 minutes, hey, that's great. God won't care. But I've got 7 minutes to talk to God. Boy, I don't want to waste it. I've got 7 minutes to talk to the president. 7 minutes to talk to this person. I want to be valuable. I want to say some things. So I need to kind of get in my mind. What do I want to pray about myself? What do I want to pray about others? What am I thinking about? It gives you an idea. To 7 minutes. Not a 35-minute workout for your cardiorespiratory system, muscular system, all these things that we could talk about and that you need a lot more. No, I'm just talking about 7 little minutes of your day. No phone, no interruption, not while you're driving. This isn't 7 minutes on the road. This is your 7 minutes between you and God alone. It isn't very long. 7 minutes. I'm going to show you how long it is. Let's go into prayer. Don't worry about the clock. I'll do that. Here's what we're going to do. First yourself, then others, and then that which you're thankful for. Let's pray.